Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Fake the Nation, episode 322.
Hello, hello. Welcome to Fake the Nation, where we talk about news, we talk about politics, and where we pour one out for the queen. I am your host, Nagin Farsad, your top five favorite Iranian-American Muslim podcaster, who is both mystified and accepting of everyone's devotion to the queen. So today, we're going to break down that mystery and talk about her historic reign. We'll also look at what Lindsey Graham and his weird Republican friends are up to, and we'll ask, did everyone stop drinking, and is this trend a trend we're okay with? I'm so excited for today's panel, folks. So first off, you've heard her on the show many times before. She is a regular. And this winter, she has a special coming out on HBO Max, which I'm so excited for. And today, as this podcast drops on a Thursday, you can see her in Seattle, and you can see her next week in Portland. And she is the one and only Marcela Arguello. Hey, Marcela.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me back.
So excited. Now, for the first time on the show, I get to have on this terrific guy. We did a show together called Would I Lie to You on the CW. And it was one of the most fun times I've ever had tasting something.
No, me.
And you guys, I mean, look, I don't even really need to say anything because it's like everybody already knows who he is. You know, he's just like one of the world's most remarkable fashion designers, but also just one of the more hilarious people and this is very accurate, the most fabulous person I know. It is.
And really well endowed. I
haven't gotten to that part of the introduction.
You just made me the most fabulous person in the world. So I just had to like add, like, who could be that fabulous, Nagin? No one.
No. Is there a thing of like, if you're very fabulous, like something else has to suffer? You can't be that fabulous. Like you have to have small genitals if you're that fabulous.
Maybe that could be,
but that's not
not in my case, but
the voice of this person that's already talking, which is against the rules, by the way. You don't talk before the introduction,
Nagin.
So you're already fucked up the show.
Whoa, Fake the Nation has some rules, baby.
That is the one and only Isaac Mizrahi. Hi, Isaac.
Hi.
All right. I think you can catch that episode of Would I Lie to You. It was so fun and so funny and really just cracked me up, but I don't know how you can see it. I think you could see it online, as the kids say. So let us get into it, folks, with topic number one. Last week, we all heard the terrible news of the Queen's passing. She died at 96 years of age, and she reigned for 70 years, which is the longest-serving British monarch in history. Her approval rating was higher than any politician the UK has ever had, and on top of that, she was beloved by the entire world. Now, before we get into my deeper questions about why all of that is, I wanted to know what was your particular relationship with a phenom that was Queen Elizabeth. Isaac, you're the type of person that may have even met her. Did you ever meet her?
I never met her. I met Diana a couple of times, but I never met her.
There we
and
go.
I wish she could have stayed alive a couple more years so I could have wangled an invitation or an introduction.
Do you have a rule that like you'll only meet a monarch when they're 98?
Or above, yeah, exactly. Like right, Queen Victoria and I were like this. Yeah, exactly.
Right. Well, I mean, so did you, like, were you one of these people that just had, like, a kind of fascination with the royal family? Like, what was your relationship with that, the whole phenomenon?
I had a fascination with her. right? The royal, and I'm not really sure why, you know, it's a bunch of like scary, who knows, right? Like Republican, right. Racist, I don't know. But I was fascinated with her because, and by the way, like, you know, she had a high approval rating. Come on, like how hard was her job? You had to show up, not say yeah. that much. You couldn't, she never really had that kind of scandalous an opinion about anything. She oh, that
well, she
was
couldn't.
So great. She
yeah.
couldn't. That's what I'm saying. So how hard is that? You know, it's not that hard. But she did it so well, and she was always like so unflappable. Like you could not get her to show any kind of. And I admire that. And here's the thing:
tremendous actor,
I guess, or tremendous like I don't know what temperament, like a good temperament.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
And
yeah,
the
yeah.
jewels, darling, the jewelry. The jewelry and the kind,
the
and,
look.
And also the look, because here's the thing, like, it's amazing how kind of dowdy and great it was. It's like, yes, I am the Queen of England, so if I want to be a tiny bit overweight, I can be. And it's fabulous because I have this jewelry, right. I have these corgis, I have these castles, it's me. You know what I mean? So style-wise, I've always adored that. Like, I don't care how, you know what I mean? So let's not conflate
right.
that with, you know, maybe she has a Nazi or two as a family member. No, let's not conflate that, okay? Please. The style and the Nazis in her past is a whole other, like her uncle who was a Nazi, you know, whatever it is. Yeah.
You said that, like, how hard could it be to, like, show up and not give an opinion? I want to say what's hard about that is that it sounds incredibly boring, right?
Yeah,
like,
it does.
I would just be like, I mean, wow, this 70 years of, like, this really boring job. To me, that's what it sounds like.
If you're like Roseanne Barr, maybe, or something. You know what I mean? Because, like, she likes, or, like, I'm just trying to
right.
think of, like, who gives opinions that no one really wants to hear or something.
Right, right,
right.
Like,
right, then it
right,
would be a
right.
really boring job, okay? But
right,
for her,
no, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, for her it worked. Marcella, what was your relationship with the Queen?
I had zero relationship. I was not into it at all. But I will say that my, you know, I have an immigrant mother, so we had all the Princess Diana plates and the things.
Oh,
and
nice.
The, you know,
yeah.
so that was the only thing, only connection I had. I also just feel like, especially the white people over there, they're. I mean, what white person doesn't continue to love their racist grandma who's problematic? You know, they're just
yes.
like, she's from a different generation. We love her. She's crazy. And then it's,
yes.
and you're just, well, but also, I mean, the argument is also like, well, she's from a different time. Why does she exist when I do? But she was an interesting character, an interesting history. I'll say that. I don't want to get too political. Should I? I don't know.
It doesn't. Well, I will say something about that, you know, that royal family in particular is that it is not the only small country with a largely insignificant monarchical figurehead,
sure.
right? Like there are others. And before the show, I really truly meant to Google the others. I believe like Japan has one of those.
Yeah.
I believe Sweden,
mm-hmm,
maybe Denmark.
Sweden.
They all have these like monarchs that exist and have no real power, but for whatever reason, nobody cares. Like in America, nobody cares about the Swedish princess or queen
right.
or whatever is reigning over there. But we did care about Queen Elizabeth.
I mean, I just wonder what's that about? Here's the thing, Nagin.
I
found out over the past like 4 or 5 days since she died, how many times I refer to the Queen of England, like not just out loud, but in my brain, I'm like, yeah, the Queen of England would have. I'm not kidding. And a lot of times I go, I'm not kidding. Like so many times I go, yeah, I'm like the Queen of England. Or who do you think I am? The Queen of... And now I go, well, there is no... I swear to God, like a big chunk of my kind of descriptors has just...
Yes.
I am not kidding, Nagin. It's true.
No, there's like a void in your vocabulary.
A void. A fucking void.
And it's
void,
really sad.
Darling. I know. It's sad.
Gotta start finding replacements. Beyonce, Rihanna.
Right. You might be right about that.
You know,
maybe
you got to
find
a new, you got to update it.
It's not the King of England because that just doesn't roll off the tongue.
It doesn't
like
roll.
No,
it
Charles
doesn't roll.
Does not roll off the tongue, darling. Nope.
I mean, she was because like if you, especially you talked about her style, whatever, her face, the haircut, right? The hats. And all
oh,
that shit.
Come on. I mean.
She was the original kind of meme queen. You know what I
yes.
mean? Like to be a face everywhere. And to be like a meme in every sense, like
you know what, darling,
is something
you're going
that happened
into,
to her.
Forget about memes. What about being on the fucking currency of the country. Right. Your face is on the pound bill, okay?
On the pound, which itself, I remember when the first time we went to London, I think I was like 19 or something, and I remember feeling like the physical pound coin was so heavy.
Yes,
and I just
so
was like,
good.
Wow, icon,
I know, right?
this coin, it has the queen's face on it. Like, wow. And did have a little feel. Now it's not as worth as much.
No, it's really true.
It's about to get ugly. It's about to get very ugly, that money.
Well, Marcella, let's talk about how shit is about to get ugly. Because, okay, I'm going to tell you guys a little interaction I had with my friend. So I have a friend who's a bit of a thing in the UK. So I'm not going to say who she is, but I WhatsApped her. But I knew her from when she was like a dirtbag. So I WhatsApped her and I said, how you feeling? How's the vibe over there? And she said, it's a little bit sad, but also we're now completely fucked. Oh, and Charles is a twat, is what she said. And I said, why would you be fucked?
So how is and Phoebe? I'm kidding. So she
wrote, we're fucked because, I should do this in a British accent. We're fucked because we're a little irrelevant country getting poorer, almost entirely lacking leadership. We've been living through a mad Tory psycho drama for 5 years now, but at least we had a little old queen who people seem to like, and now she's dead. So that is her assessment. Marcella, do you think they're fucked as my friend, my nameless friend?
Thanks. I mean, if you're not fucked, are you living in a government-controlled society? You get what I'm saying, y'all? Is there any winning ever?
No, it's really true.
There is.
No, darling, you know what? By the way, we go, right? How many times, Marcella, Nagin, how many times have you gone, like, I'm moving because I can't take it? Like Donald Trump or whatever. I can't take it. I'm moving.
Right, right.
But then
you go,
you going to move to? Britain? Hell no. And by the way, they're not fucked because the queen died, honey. They're fucked because they left the union. That's why they're fucked. Why did they do that? That was stupid. That was gross of them, right? That was racist.
Yeah,
that was
horrible. Real dumb.
And again, you need a segment with Isaac coming back that says, that was stupid, and it's just all political, hardcore takes.
Everything is stupid. No, I'm not kidding, but there is no alternative because Canada, I love you, but no, I'm not doing Canada, okay?
No.
I was thinking Italy, but Italy is such a shit show. It's like fascism.
It's also got an authoritarian vibe.
Yeah, it really does.
Yeah.
And in London, it feels a little bit crazy now that they're not in the EU.
Isaac, the history professor Maya Jasnoff at Harvard, I'm sure a good friend of yours, she said, this is what she said about it. It's a country that with Brexit dealt a self-inflicted blow in part on the basis of certain ideas about what Britain represents, what Britain's role is in the world. And those ideas of Britain's role in the world emanate from its imperial past. Which is to say, Britain is not as fucking hot as it used to be, but Britain hasn't gotten around to accepting that about itself. Like, Brexit was a great idea for a country that had everything going for it.
Yes. I mean, and I remember, like, when I was a kid, I used to be, I used to do these things, like, in Japan with Vivian Westwood or something, right? And she just didn't like Americans, and she would come for Americans and sort of, on panels, like, she would tell me what a piece of shit I was because I was American. And she would look at me and she's like, you people ruined the world. You ruined the world. And I looked at her once and I was like, darling, you started it. We didn't start imperialism. We learned our shit from you, honey. You are like 2,000 years older than we are. How dare you, No, because it's true. But you're right. I mean, we're headed there, but we have another 1,000 years till we get to that horrible, wretched place that England is at right now.
Which is actually the most optimistic thing I think that's been said all year is that we have another 1,000 place before we get to the wretched place about America.
Yes, thank you, darling.
That's the headline of this podcast. Okay, well, any final thoughts on the Queen as we wrap up this segment?
I just don't want people to conflate the things. Just because we're Democrats doesn't mean we can't sing the national anthem, because we like the national anthem too. Just because she was the queen didn't make her, fill in the blank. Just because she died doesn't mean that some of that shit is going to have to definitely go away.
Right,
that's what I want to make sure we say. you know?
Okay, and now let's work on filling your vocabulary back up with a substitute for "What do you think I am, the queen?" Listeners, what should Isaac be saying instead of apparently the queen that he invokes literally constantly in conversation?
I thought of one, by the way, in our conversation. How about this?
Let's hear
one. Queen just died recently, okay? Tread lightly.
Ooh.
How's that?
It's very threatening.
Such a threat.
Yeah.
Such
I know,
a threat.
Exactly. Right,
it makes it's and you're like constantly verbally violent is what
right.
you are.
It's very
I didn't
my mother.
Know that about you.
It's very my mother.
All right. Well, let's take a quick break and hear from our sponsors, and when we come back, we will continue chatting.
Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Folks, I feel like I've mentioned this before, but I tried other services that I was displeased with. And then a neighbor of mine was trying Factor. I had pulled them aside in the hallway and I was like, "What are you feeling about this Factor?" And they were like, "It is delicious. You should definitely do it." So then me and my husband did it and we loved it. They are chef-prepared meals that arrive to your door, and then in 2 minutes, you could be eating them. Like, it's so simple, and they're actually delicious. And for people like me who just sometimes, my schedule can be so maniacal between traveling in different cities and, you know, doing stand-up gigs. It's like I just don't have a typical schedule where I can plan, set aside time for cooking and all that stuff. So something like Factor really helps for me. The other thing that I love to do is try not to eat carbs. So they have a keto option, which is fantastic. It's super delicious. They use premium ingredients. You can get stuff with like filet mignon and shrimp and truffle butter and broccolini and asparagus, right? Like real ingredients. They're no fuss, no mess meals. They eliminate the hassle of having to prep. They're tailored to your schedule. You can customize your weekly meals with flexibility. You can pause or reschedule. I've actually done that. I've both paused and rescheduled. Factor is basically your solution for fast premium meals without the need for cooking. We're celebrating Earth Day all month long, and look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for the lowest carbon footprint meals. So here's what I think you should do. I think you should head to factormeals.com/fakethenation50 and use the code fakethenation50 to get 50% off your first month plus 20% off your next month. That's code fakethenation50 at factormeals.com/fakethenation50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And we are back and we're ready for topic number two. You know how the GOP, like, engineered the overturning of Roe v. Wade that one time and it was really horrible?
Uh-huh.
And they've been trying for, like, decades and
yeah.
they finally did it? Okay. Well, that overturning Roe v. Wade kind of made abortion a state's issue. But this week, Lindsey Graham, Senator Lindsey Graham, everybody's just best friend, introduced a national abortion ban for abortions after 15 weeks. I mean, this is not a bill that, like, a Schumer-controlled Senate is going to allow come up to a vote or whatever. So, like, you know, part of this is theater. But what do you think? Let's just start right there when you heard the news yesterday.
I mean, I just find it interesting that, I mean, there was that one clip, I forget who the gentleman was, but he was like realizing what the abortion ban, the original one, was actually going to exclude, like, you know, saving women's lives, you know, people who are at risk to die. And it was like blowing his mind. And it's really, it's been eye opening to just see how dumb these ghouls are. You know, they're not just ghouls, they're idiots. And so this has been interesting. I mean, I think you're right. It's performative. It doesn't mean anything. Nothing might not come of it. I mean, women are still going to flee where they need to get their safe care. But yeah, it's weird. I don't know.
It's well, here's what's funny. I mean, so Isaac, I don't know if you realize this, but it is supposed to be Lindsey Graham's attempt at providing a lighter and gentler position.
I know. That's what people think. Because now we think that they think they made a mistake or something, like SCOTUS made a mistake by returning it. And like, because no one's going to vote for them, like they should have waited till after the midterms or something.
Yeah.
That's true. But you know what? I find it really hard to kind of like talk about it glibly or to like opine about it, because it's like, it's such an deeply offensive thing to me. Yeah. I don't know. I'm so deeply offended by it. And you know, and it's like, and then Republicans go, oh, why do you politicize everything? Why do you make it? And I'm like, why do I politicize? You mean like I politicized a woman's body in 1972 when Roe v. Wade like was enacted into law? Excuse me? Like, that was the opposite of politicizing something. That was the freeing up of politics. That was women actually owning stuff for a minute, you know? And so everything is always so double standard. I can't stand it. And, you know, and God knows, like, by the way, I do love your podcast. Nagin's podcast, right? Like, Fake the Nation. She literally sends you, like, a 4-page email in advance with, like, 15 links of things that maybe you just want to look at these 15 different articles that take 15 minutes each to read before you log on to the podcast at 1:30, right?
But no, which is why we mostly only have PhDs on and Isaac Mizrahi.
Well, wait a minute, because here's the thing, you know, one of the links, which I don't know about you, but I happen to look at, you know, but the point is, it's like, you know, it's just, you can feel the kind of, the way they politicize everything. You know what I mean? You can see, it's like they have these crazy meetings and then they accuse us of politicizing it. You know what I mean? So it's like, what I don't like around it is all of this kind of crazy conversation about, there's no conversation that can be had. It's just terrible. And if you're Catholic and you believe that people shouldn't have abortions, just say that, okay? It's not about anything else. It's not about 15 weeks or whatever. It's about evil versus good. And if you want to say that's a political issue, then go right ahead. But it is not a political issue. It is good versus evil. And that's what I'm going to come out and say. I am Roseanne Barr. I am Sandra Bernhardt. Now I'm just saying whatever the fuck I want to say.
But
right?
See, but the flip is that from their perspective, it's evil versus good, but they're the good ones. I mean, about it.
Well,
you know?
That's what you have to maybe see a little bit. You know, you have to go like, okay.
I mean, the politicization is in fact happening by saying, okay, it's evil except at 15 weeks, right? So then it doesn't, like, it doesn't actually make sense on their side.
No.
Before 15 weeks, it's not evil. What? According to Lindsey Graham. So then it's like weird. So then it's oddly, you know, it's oddly not sticking to their guns, even though it is also the worst.
And on top of that, darling, you got to correct me if I'm wrong, because I did look at the 15 articles that you linked to, okay? It is never a Democrat that says, hey, stop making this a political issue. It's never a Democrat. It isn't.
Democrats just
go like, why don't we let women do whatever the fuck they want with their bodies? And then the Republicans go, because you're politicizing something. And you're like, no, we're not. We're just saying, why don't we be good in the world instead of shitty? You know?
Right, right.
That's it's not a political thing with Mar-a-Lago. Yeah. How about the thing with Mar-a-Lago? It's like, wait, is that a political thing? He stole all this shit. And now you're saying some ridiculous judge. And now you're making it into a political issue, not us. We just want to get the guy who did that. And if it's truly him, we just want to know. You know what I mean? That's all. It's like, again, good versus evil. And you're the one saying that we are politicizing it. You know,
I think the other interesting part of that good versus evil conversation, too, is that I think the young female Republicans, those voters are really showing that, like, they're like, no, we're out here fucking and sucking and we need access to abortions. Like, we do need it. Like, we'll fucking right. lock the kids up in cages, but we want access to abortions, you know,
right,
like
exactly.
that.
Yes.
But that's where they're at. And I think that's what's kind of a moving shit in a way that is probably confusing to the older Republicans, but the younger Republicans are like, well, at least I can stay a Republican if he fucking changes it to 15 weeks, you know?
Right. And I think there is this kind of, I like it when you look at these measures that are supposed to make things lighter and gentler for Republicans, but actually seem like way more scary.
Right.
You do see a longing with those like younger Republicans of like, whatever happened to Rockefeller Republicans? Guys, I just want to talk about taxes. Like, why do we even have to talk about
exactly,
this? You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, it was so easier for Rockefeller. And I also want to point out, and this is just because right after this, I'm gonna do a quick shout out on the races to watch. Lindsey Graham said, the other crazy thing about this fucking bill is that it is a huge reversal from just weeks ago when Mitch McConnell said that they would not pursue a nationwide abortion prohibition, that the court's ruling was the court's ruling, leaving it up to the states. They don't need a nationwide ban.
Give them an inch, darling. Give those bitches an inch.
I mean, exactly. Mm-hmm. And so then and Graham even said in June on Fox News, he said the same type of thing. And then yesterday he said, if we take back the House and Senate, I can assure you we'll have a vote on our bill. So it's like he's essentially campaigning for Democrats, basically. I mean, with a statement like that. Like, if that statement that they will literally put up a vote on a nationwide abortion ban doesn't make you want to vote in the midterms, I don't know what is.
I know.
That should be plastered everywhere.
You know, it's like us, I guess, you know, that this is my point, is, you know, we are trying to make it a federal law that gays, for instance, you can't overturn that, right? Someone, I forgot who, was trying to make that happen. And I guess they see that, like your point earlier, Marcella, this idea that, like, you know, they think we're evil because we want gays to be able to be married. So we're trying to do what he's doing, only the opposite, because it's really nice. Because it's really nice to, like, let gays. Why would you be so mean to gays? Why would you be so, not mean to women, so horrible to women? You know what I mean? Evil.
And it's interesting you bring that up, because the other thing that's happening right now, which is like, it's so interesting that both of these things are sort of happening at the same time, is that there's a same-sex bill introduced, a same-sex marriage bill introduced by Tammy Baldwin, the Democrat from Wisconsin, and Susan Collins, the Republican from Maine. And they basically want, because of what happened in Roe v. Wade and Clarence Thomas saying that he wanted to like reverse that stuff. Or look at it again, or whatever. Like, there's a real chance that this could get 60 votes. Now, a letter signed by 400 Republicans recently came out supporting it. And the people who are supporting it are people like Governor Charlie Baker, Mehmet Oz, that the Senate candidate in Pennsylvania. Mm. We're voting for John Fetterman, so don't even worry about it. Joe O'Day, the Republican Senate nominee in Colorado, the National Association of Manufacturers, a bunch of other GOP luminaries have all come out saying, like, we support gay marriage.
I know.
So why? I mean, Isaac, why is it that all of these Republicans are coming out in favor of gay marriage, while at the same time, like, doing this national abortion ban? Like, you know what I mean? Like, these things, how are these things kind of happening
together?
I think,
you know what, to quote Marcella for a second, I think I'll go back to fucking and sucking. Right?
Right.
Like, you said it, baby. You said it. And I think people just can't stand that people are out there having good sex lives or something, you know? I don't know. That's again, it's trivializing it. And I feel like weird being glib about it, except, like, what else are we supposed to do? It's good to talk about this stuff, because the minute you talk about it, right? So I honestly, for the life of me, can't figure it out. I think it must go back to religion. And I don't know. I mean, you know, you didn't send out 15 links to, like, religious doctrines that I was supposed to study before the, but I think it has to do with, before the podcast is taping, but I think it must have to do with religion. You know, I have to say, my sisters are very, very religious Jews. And I think they're much more tolerant of gays, Well, they're much more tolerant of gays than they are about abortion. Like, I don't even want to know where they stand on abortion. And I don't honestly want to know how they voted. You know, I don't want to know because I know that they're not like Democrats. My mother, this breaks her heart because she is a dyed-in-the-wool. She is not a Hasidic Jew. She was very weirdly lefty when, you know, in her day, she, her spiritual father was Franklin Delano Roosevelt. You know, she lived through the Depression. Like, this is that person, you know? So it's a weird regression that my sisters, they were really religious. We were sent to yeshiva. They took it really seriously and they took it. So I don't honestly, you know, there are people out there who, like, it would be really, really, it would I think it would ruin my family kind of relationship if I brought this up as a subject. Either of those things. You know, the gay thing, the gay marriage thing. And they're much more liberal about gay marriage because I'm gay. They know I'm gay. They know my husband. They love my husband, you know. But they still can't. You know what? They can't have him over to their house because there are kids around and they don't want that idea to be like, you know, and they ask, who's that, you know? And they can't say that's his husband.
So the thing is that because you existed in their lives, they're more for gay marriage. So basically you need to get pregnant and have an abortion so that they can support abortion.
So they can, and they can also, what do they call that when you disown? They can disown me. Finally, we can disown this bitch. Exactly, right.
All right, folks, let me know, what do you think of these bills sweeping the Senate? It's just a very interesting time to be alive. Which, Marcella, you wanted to say something?
I did. I wanted to ask both of you, does this, like, these confusing-ass perspectives or beliefs or whatever the fuck, and not necessarily with Isaac's siblings, but just the general Republican Party, do you think that there's like residual side effects of Trump because he just confused everything, it seems like.
Oh, right? Of course. Nothing more. Yes, right? Absolutely.
And because Trump was, you know, was pro-choice before and then was like, oh, I'm not though, really, you know. And among the 400 people that signed that letter, there are Trumpy candidates that signed that, like Mehmet Oz, for example, who've signed that letter because abortion is not that thing for them, right? Not sorry, abortion, gay marriage is not that thing for them. And so he confused things because he's not actually like a man of ideals.
Right.
So he just like made up some things that he said out loud. And then now it really confused the policies.
By the way, did you see the cover of the Times with all the Congress people who like, you know, had weird, questionable dealings on the stock market? Did you see this morning?
Yeah.
So darling, it feels like you get a job in Congress so that you can be dodgy, right? So that you can break the law. That's what it seems like more and more. Like the Senate and Congress, it seems like those are plum jobs because then you can break the law and no one can stop you or something, right?
That's why I became a comedian, so I could expose my genitals in green rooms.
Exactly, and masturbate in front of people with impunity. With impunity.
That's why I do comedy.
That's why I came, me too.
All right. Well, folks, let me know what you think. And before we move into the next topic, I wanted to quickly do a races to watch, also known as electoral contests to watch. One of our listeners wanted me to talk about Lynette Grable, who's running for Congress in Wyoming. Check her out. She is a Democrat. Obviously, Wyoming is a very red state and it is an uphill battle. So like she needs all the support she can get. But please look into Lynette Grable. And another listener is really worried about the Secretary of State race in Michigan. And I'm so sorry I didn't write down the names of these listeners. I don't know what happened. I normally do. So apologies to both of you. But this other listener is worried about the Secretary of State race in Michigan, that there's a real Trumpy candidate running on the GOP side who is an election denier, who would then be controlling the elections. That's the fucked up thing. She's also super weird, like just a weird person who's a community college professor, but also opposes teaching evolution in schools. And I don't know. I've just heard some weird, like just super weird stuff come out of her mouth. So instead of her, I won't even cloud your memory with her name. Instead of her, you should look at Jocelyn Benson. Jocelyn Benson is the name that should be in your head. Jocelyn Benson is running for Secretary of State in Michigan. All right, let us move on to topic number 3. We read a piece in Vogue by Tamar Adler.
Nagin, I have to throw a joke in here. Every time you have said races to watch, I keep picturing... Like
me too.
If the KKK had a podcast in the 1950s, right, that would be their segment, Racist to Watch.
Me too. I keep thinking she's saying racist, like R-A-C-I-S-T-S.
I'm hearing R-A-C-I-S-T-S.
Me too. It I is swear a, to God.
It's been a problem with this segment for now 3 years, yeah, and I just have just soldiered on.
It's like, keep your eyes on Mel Gibson, darling. Keep your eyes on John Galliano. Racists to watch. You know, I mean, it's the craziest thing in the world.
All right, here we go with topic number 3. We read a piece in Vogue by Tamara Adler that asks, has everyone stopped drinking? The writer points out that, quote, over the last year, a lot of her friends have stopped drinking, whether for health reasons or to preserve their marriages. And then she points out a bunch of celebrities that have joined in on the sober fun, like Bella Hadid, Kate Moss, Kate Perry, Katy Perry, Naomi Campbell, and Brad Pitt. And before we, like, get into her personal experiment, can you tell me if you've noticed this trend? I mean, Isaac, you're a man that knows something about trends. So,
well,
let's
no,
hear
I'm a man,
from you.
Darling. I'm a man that also knows something about Vogue, which is that you know, like 16 people run Vogue, and that's it. Like, and if they canvass those 16 people, and they all go like, "Darling, I'm not drinking this week," someone writes an article about it. You know what I'm saying? So that's where they get their information. I'm not kidding. Like, Vogue has a very, very narrow, narrow little tiny perspective. You know, I'm sorry that at the current moment, you know, when I was a kid, it didn't necessarily, or when I was an adult, it didn't necessarily. You know, that incredible art history writers and incredible political contributors. And now it's like, Naomi, are you drinking these days? No, darling, it ruins my smile. It makes my teeth not so white. So Naomi stops drinking and then everybody does an article. You know, for me, that's what that's about. Or it's like Lindsey Graham going, you know, no one's drinking now, are they? Like, I think it's Republicans who are trying to get people to stop drinking or something. That's my take on it. I don't know.
Marcella, what do you think?
I mean, I just think it's funny that anyone would publish, like, Kate Moss having any kind of addiction or sober perspective. Like, she's the last person I want to hear about her journey, because it's like, girl, you don't get to tell nobody nothing about any of that shit. I think people should drink as they please, smoke as they please, and there has been no trend. I mean, I definitely think the pandemic made everybody drink more, and then people had to do a little reflecting. And
well, I think that's the crux of the trend. If I were to give this this trend any merit, it's that early pandemic behavior was an increase in alcohol sales. And now late pandemic behavior, or whatever we are in, post-pandemic behavior, is like, oh shit, I gained a ton of weight,
right,
and my face looks weird.
And I have to drive home. Ugh.
Right. Like,
right.
Let's
and by the way, I didn't color my hair, so now I'll. You know what I mean? There's a really Vogue, really. I mean, come on.
You know what I will say is, because I've always been a drinker, and I will say, and I will admit that as I've gotten older, I've definitely been like, any type of like sobering breaks have been driven by vanity. I will absolutely admit that, because, and that's the only reason I've never picked up cigarette smoking, because when I was a kid, I learned that women would like, I mean, people would age really badly if they smoked cigarettes. And I was like, that's reason enough not to do it. I'm like, I'm so
right.
Vain. And I just feel like people need to have realistic goals to set for themselves.
Well, as a really old person, darling, I noticed that I am drinking so much more now than I ever did in my life.
Good.
Which I love. I'm not kidding. I have to say, like, as a kid, I used to do, like, other drugs. I drank a little, and I did some drugs, and it was really fun. And then drugs, like, I had, like, a sort of an episode, like a hard episode when I was like, okay, that, you can't do that ever again.
Sure.
So I stopped, right? And slowly but surely, and I'm an insomniac, I don't sleep, so that was always related, and coffee, I can't drink, right? So now, but now, darling, now I just drink. I don't really drink hard liquor. I drink, like,
right,
you know, a wine spritz or like a pussy, right?
But and I like it. As you get older, too, you know that you can spend a little more money. Like, you're more likely to be like, I'll buy the, like, fancy cocktail. I'll buy, as opposed to buying the cheap pocket shots,
right,
or whatever the fuck you do when you're young, you know? Like, you're like,
maybe.
Which, by the way, like, I've made the discovery about myself. So I don't really drink because I get migraines and whatever. And I mean, you know, technically, people always think I don't drink because I'm Muslim, and I'm like, no, it's actually because I have headaches.
Is it wrong?
It's because I'm a bad Muslim. Exactly.
I'm a bad Muslim, so no, it's not it. No, but I often don't drink because of that. And then I sort of realized that, like, if I'm like doing well, if I've had enough, you know, if I've had enough sleep, and I'm kind of like not that stressed or whatever, I can have a glass of wine and not get a hangover and not get a headache, right? But it has to be like a very expensive glass of wine.
That's the other thing I've noticed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, there is a difference between the expensive stuff and then the cheap stuff that was like totally making me ill.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yes.
Absolutely. Nagin, right, I have a follow-up question for you from the last time I was here. Did you ever try ear candling?
Oh my God. We did talk about ear candling. No, I didn't. I got scared.
Wait a second.
Apparently, ear candling is a thing for migraines, Isaac. Did you know this?
No, because I have crazy, crazy ear problems my whole life.
Oh.
Like, I've always got some low-grade kind of ear infection or some crazy waxy buildup or some crazy water trapped in my ear. I have three ear doctors. Three, okay? I've always got someone looking up into my hole, honey. Up into one of my holes.
Oh, my God.
I'm not kidding you.
So, Isaac, I feel like me and you have this in common, because here's the thing with me, and I'm not trying to brag here, but I have very short eustachian tubes.
Oh, right. Nice. Very tight, tight ears. She has some tight little ears.
Yeah,
someone out there has a thing for that.
Fucking through the ear hole. I have my eustachian tubes are like a little fucked up, and so they don't drain properly. And I too have like just weird congestion issues. Water gets trapped, all of that.
Well, we have to take this offline for a second, because I don't really believe in earplugs. I think earplugs make it worse. And I have like a few different opinions to back me up. Earplugs?
Would love this future and very embarrassing conversation about earballs that we will have. But getting back to the topic, I do want to say that there has been a 506% increase in non-alcoholic beverage sales in America. The non-alcoholic beverages make up 10% of Budweiser's parent company sales.
Oh, wow.
And in 2018, they were doing so much of those sales, they even hired a chief non-alcoholic beverage officer.
But, darling, have you read about, because you know, there are all those evil people out there that know what's coming. You know, we don't know what's coming and they know what's coming.
Freemasons
or something. I don't know who they are.
Right.
I used to play bridge with this woman, and she would come over and like, she was evil. I love her, but she was evil. And you'd say like, what should I buy? Because she was a hedge fund stock market. And she'd say, opioids, like with not even any kind of irony at all, right? I'm not kidding, like buy opioids, because, and we were like in 2005,
right?
Buy opioids, but the point is, like, those people who you're talking about who like go, oh, it's up, the non-alcoholic beverages, have you read the thing that now it's like taking a steep decline? The non-alcoholic beverage thing? Oh, yeah. Like, coming in a month, they're going to, a lot of those stocks apparently are supposed to crash. That's what I read somewhere. And it wasn't on one of your links. It was on my own.
Ooh.
I read that. No kidding.
Oh, I see. You should have sent a 4-page document of links
exactly.
for me and Marcella. Well, okay. I mean, and that might be true. I mean, if that's the, because I think I can picture myself spending money on a non-alcoholic beverage out of curiosity, like a novelty, right? Because, they describe some of these wines, right? They describe in this article an alcohol-free 1Y0 Riesling, and it tasted and smelled just like Riesling, because what they do is they basically take a Riesling and then they boil off the alcohol so that all you're left with is that flavor. And my question for the two of you is, do you like that flavor on its own? Like, is that a flavor? That's like one thing about like O'Doul's and stuff that, you know, which has been around forever, that's always been kind of confusing to me, is like, so do people like that flavor? I've only ever tolerated these flavors so that I could have the part
right,
that
exactly.
makes you drunk.
And also the calories, darling. You've only tolerated the calories so you can get high. Come on, right?
Exactly.
The fuck? I'm not going to drink a drink that gives me calories. And then I'll just drink apple juice or like orange juice or like Kool-Aid.
Drink a soda. Grow up.
Drink a Kool-Aid, honey. Drink a Kool-Aid.
By the way, I mean, The one thing that I find frustrating about the about marijuana, doing marijuanas, is I did a marijuana, yes, took an amount of marijuana yesterday. It was like two puffs of a very stale joint because I have this problem where I buy a joint. I'm very I buy like a little collection of joints. I'm very enthusiastic about it at first. And I think I'm going to do some joint halving. And then I don't do them and I forget, you know, because I tried being a pothead. I'm not very good at it. Like, I need to set an alarm to be able to remember to like do the pot. But like so last night I had stale joints, but nice. Enough that like I had enough of an amount in my system that it made me want to then go eat a bag of potato chips. And I was like, oh, like you think you're gaming the system with weed, right? Because you're not consuming calories. But then you consume calories.
Right. You have to. The trick is to have a well-balanced meal before you light up.
Right.
Okay.
That's least, what the FDA, that's in the FDA pyramid.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
Or at least have enough like sort of, what are those cheese snacks? Those like diet cheese snacks in your refrigerator.
Yeah, moon cheese
moon
or whatever.
Cheese or something. Yeah. Have enough moon cheese in your refrigerator so that if you get peckish, you can whip out
and
one of those.
Keep, and yeah, you can keep keto, you know?
Well, yeah.
And I also wanted to point out, so I don't understand like the wine and the beer stuff. I do kind of understand the thrill of having a cocktail that is non-alcoholic because then you're just kind of drinking an interesting juice. That trend seems to be okay with me. What do you think about like the kind of world of cocktails?
That one's interesting because a lot of those cocktails are created to complement that taste of the alcohol. You know,
there are some things,
the bitters and the just whatever they put in them. They're meant to complement whatever whiskey, tequila, whatever you're having. So it's just silly. I just think it's silly. It's just but if that's what it takes for you, if you have a drinking problem, I mean, handle it. But I'm just like, drink water, y'all. Wow. It's better for you anyways.
Absolutely.
Drink water.
I mean, and also like not having an alcohol problem myself, I don't know how I would feel about a mocktail. I don't know if I would feel a little bit like I was being, you know, kind
duped.
Of... No, not duped, but, you know, like talked down to. Like, here's your mocktail.
Patronized.
Yeah, it's like, here's your cocktail, your highness. You know what I mean? It's like,
Queen of England.
I mean it. You see what I'm saying? It's like, no, you get what I mean. It's like, because sometimes it's like, you know, I don't know if I like... What? Like a gay play. I don't know if I want to go to a play that's all about gay people. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if I... Like, I remember when I started doing clothes, like I would say, like, I don't know if I want a plus department. I don't want to do plus size clothes. I just want my clothes available in all sizes. Like if you're big, they should be in the same department. I don't want to go to a plus size department. I don't want to be looked down upon as someone who gave up and now you're giving me like a mocktail. I'd rather have just some sparkling water. Thank you. Or like a Diet Coke or something. You know, personally, that's how I feel about it, but I'm not an alcoholic, so.
I will say that I was pregnant once and doing a piece about Kansas City for like a travel piece for a farm magazine. And I was deeply pregnant and like in Kansas City, like on my own. And I was going to all these like jazz clubs and bars and I couldn't drink. And I would be like, hey, I'm pregnant. Can you make me like a mocktail? Cause I still want to like have the experience, right? And it did feel cool to just wield a glass in a particular way with my, you know, with my pinky finger in the air, you know?
And you never said to yourself, hey, Nagin, this is such a fucking charade. What are you doing here, girl? Get a grip, because you're not drinking alcohol. Stop acting a little high, because did you act a little high, too? Like, after feeling like you're somehow because it's somehow, like, stop trying to make fetch happen or something. Remember that?
No, exactly. Yeah.
Mean Queen of England right here.
There
sorry.
It is.
Well, okay. Well, folks, let me know. Where are you? Are you on this trend? Are you reversing pandemic behavior that was too indulgent? Where are you?
I have another point.
Oh, yes. Marcella, coming in with the points after we finish the segment. Okay, here we go.
I'll tune out when you're doing your little, like, your wrap-up. And then my brain starts going.
Pretty that you're tuning out. I like
just during the wrap-up, because I know what she's doing. Isaac, this isn't my first time doing this podcast, okay? You have to pay attention, because you need to be asked back. They have me back. Okay. So, the other... in my opinion, the benefit of when you're not drinking is how much cheaper the alternatives are. It kind of is insane to think you're going to get a mocktail for fucking $17.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's upsetting. That's upsetting.
That's
yes,
where you've
that's
lost
upsetting.
Me.
No, no, true, true,
oh,
true.
Oh, because they're okay. expensive, you mean?
Mocktails
yeah,
are
because they're not even, their mocktails are basically as expensive as mm-hmm. a cocktail. So that's what sucks.
That is some bullshit, honey.
That's right. what I'm saying.
It doesn't make any
See, this,
sense.
Isaac, that's why I brought it up, okay? Do you understand? Right.
Okay. okay. Well, folks, right. let me know where you're at on that or anything. And folks, that is the end of the show. Oh, I knew this was going to be a fun one. You guys are just so goddamn delightful and funny. And I would love for the people of Faith Nation to be able to find you and all of the wonderful things that you do. Marcella, where do they find you?
You can find me at Marcella Comedy across all social media. Can I just say, Isaac, what a pleasure and an honor to be with you. I think this might be the one and only podcast my mother will listen to because you are on.
Oh, wow. Who's probably my age, your mother, right?
I mean,
significantly
I'm not,
younger than me. Probably,
I mean, I just, it's mind blowing.
No,
when you
Marcella's like 62 years old.
Yeah. And my mom's Latina, you know. So she's 55.
Well, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? I think this is the one podcast that my drag daughter will listen to because of you. I'm just kidding. I couldn't resist that. Because I didn't know where that was going, but I had to use the word daughter in it. So there you go.
Thank you so much. But yeah, follow me at Marcella Comedy. You guys, please follow me for the love of God. Come to my shows.
Isaac, you're a man that does a million things. Where do you want the people of Fake the Nation to be able to follow all of that?
Well, you know what? You could follow me on Instagram at I am Isaac Mizrahi. I am Isaac Mizrahi. And or you can follow my website or something. Do anybody follow your website? Do you follow? It's called Hello Isaac. You can go on and I don't know what.
Bookmark.
Subscribe. Oh, wait,
bookmark
subscribe.
Is
bookmark
website.
And subscribe or something because then we can send you links.
Yeah, you'll probably join the mailing list.
Nagin sends
I'm
links.
I'm assuming. Every time you join Isaac's mailing list, I will send you four pages of research. And Isaac, like by the time I actually went onto his website, because I heard from around the bend that you were doing live shows.
Yeah, I do live
and
shows.
And I missed, and you do live shows. And I have had the pleasure of being able to see Isaac Mizrahi perform in front of an audience. You should too, which it's just... so fun. It's
oh,
so
thank
fun.
You. So, yeah, well, if you go to my website, there are dates because I just don't know the dates. I like show up. Someone drives me there and they go, here, this is what we're doing tonight. And I just appear. No, I'm not kidding. It's kind of like that. It's kind of like
no,
that.
No, it makes sense. You don't really, you're a natural. They just need to throw you in a situation. And folks, you know where to find me and all the things that I'm doing. And I am going to be in a bunch of cities around America doing the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me stand-up tour. You can find out all of that information at NaginFarsad.com where I put my dates because I too do not remember what I am doing. And let's see. Ooh, I think I'm going to be doing Wait Wait next week. If you happen to be in Chicago, you want to come out and see the show. I'll be there in Chicago. Otherwise, I'm going to be in Ann Arbor, Dallas, in Austin. And don't forget the people who are in the Bay Area. I'm going to be in the Battery in San Francisco.
By the way, this is where Marcella zones out. I'm just saying.
No, I know. I know. Everyone should zone out. Everyone should zone out except for people who are like, oh, I live in those cities.
I'm sorry. I couldn't resist that. That was just too easy.
I love you so much. You have no idea. To get roasted by Isaac Mizrahi, he quoted me saying fucking and sucking.
No,
it the
it's the greatest thing
ever.
I love it.
Thank
no.
you for having me.
So anyways, tell me if you want to come to the Battery in San Francisco. I've been collecting the names. You know the deal. Okay. So the people that make the show happen are the wonderful producer, Andrew McGuire, our fantastic audio engineer, Stephanie Aguilar, and everyone at Headcom that makes the show a reality. Hit us up if you want, if you have any segment ideas or panelist ideas at FakeTheNation@Headgum.com. And we will be back in your earballs next week.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.